grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Augsburg. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I have to begin by thanking you for this great privilege. And what an enormous privilege it is to be standing here, on this pulpit, in this blessed house, where you had so graciously allowed Pastor Bruce to cut his pastoral teeth all the way back in 2009. And my friends, what a privilege it was to listen to David Kinnack as he walked us down memory lane today, to recall just a few of the more memorable moments in this church's honored history. From its humble beginnings in 1876, to the dedication of its present building on Sunday, July 14th, 1918, where we gather today. My dear friends, today, 100 years and one day later, on this day of our Lord, July 15th, 2018. What a joy it was to hear about those times in the life of this community of faith and to recount the dedicated labors of the faithful servants. And I'm talking about your ancestors, whose heartfelt desire it was to raise a church where the Word of God could be faithfully proclaimed in this community, to be heard for generations to come, and even to this very day. David Kinnack, where are you? Oh, there he is. Okay. David, what a magnificent presentation. But something was missing. As you recounted so many noteworthy events in the past 100 years, how come no mention was made of that time when Pastor Bruce, with his brother and friend David Haler, were returning from St. Peter, following that lovely cantata, one very cold January night, only to find myself in a ditch. Couldn't see the windshield, couldn't see anything. And God bless those Mennonite brothers who came and pushed for 40 minutes. And I was driving an Explorer. Of course, the four-wheel drive did not work. And then by God's grace, we finally got out. We were on our way. We were praising God in the midst of this blinding country blizzard, and found ourselves driving around aimlessly in a cornfield. City kid, all right? Until divine intervention. And guided by God's gracious hand, we miraculously turned to the road and to the safety of our homes. After which I sat in my recliner, still wearing my coat, white knuckles for about an hour. Much to my wife and daughter's amusement, I might add. Obviously, by the laughter, you remember that, brothers and sisters at Augsburg. So, David, how could you forget? My dear, dear friends, let's go back to today, shall we? According to the divine purpose of our almighty and most gracious God, the true God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, you are here today. Thanks be to God. And suffice to say, I am pleased to see that. And I am so pleased to see you, having enjoyed the great honor of serving you, but for a small time in the history of this church. Yes, I am exceedingly grateful to you for having granted me this role. For this indeed allows me to value the community of faith here at Augsburg all the more, having shared in the duties of those shepherds who stood before me on this very pulpit, proclaiming law and gospel. And likewise, I thank God for the good and faithful servant whom He has called to serve you today, your pastor, Joshua Frazee, who continues to uphold this church's long-held tradition of ensuring that the good news is faithfully and forcefully preached and heard among you. That good news, that Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, that Christ rose from the dead to ensure that those who have been baptized into His death will rise with Him to everlasting life on the last day. From this pulpit, you continue to hear the same good news that your sainted ancestors heard before you, the good news that nourished their faith and opened the gates of heaven to them when Christ called them to Himself. With that said, my dear friends, I urge you to listen closely. Today, every Sunday morning. For as St. Paul writes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I urge you to give thanks for that word faithfully preached, and for your called servant who makes it so. Now, on this glorious day, in fond remembrance of those saints who raised this church, and all those who have passed through these doors during the last 100 years on their way to glory, and for the benefit of the blessed saints of Augsburg and your neighbors here today, I am compelled to revisit a statement that David offered during his lovely presentation. Now, suffice to say, today's walk, brief walk, through Augsburg's history included many treasured memories. And this I know, because I saw the smiles on your faces and I heard the laughter. And please rest assured of this. These recollections are a gift from our gracious and almighty God, and they are yours to have and behold. So I urge you to take this day to enjoy that reminiscing. But, with that said, there was one thing which David says that deserves, truly demands our attention. A statement which transcends 100 years, the 100 years that have passed since the day of this church's dedication. And a statement that predates the very foundations of the heavens and the earth. Now, with that said, perhaps you wonder, what did I miss? What did David say? David said this, the church remains the same. The church remains the same. After a century, even in this location, how can that possibly be? I mean, we heard, just look at all that's changed. David had mentioned back in 1944, 460 members around the church's rolls. And you can bet that just about every one of them who were not called away by military service were here and seated in their customary pews every Sunday morning. To which we all think, oh, that it were today, right? And then, what about those church picnics? Those glorious gatherings. Many more picnics than I had ever heard about during my time here, quite candidly. That drew crowds of more than 1,000 people right here to this property. And what about that school in which many of you studied? That school which sadly no longer stands. A school that taught children arithmetic, writing, reading, and the Word of God. And then, what about the parade of worshipers that marched through these church doors to hear that word throughout the last 100 years? And so, my friends, yes, I know. A lot of things have changed here at Emmanuel Lutheran Augsburg Church during the past century. People and pastors, they've come and gone. Things have changed in the Augsburg community here as well. Many of your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, well, they've gone off to college. And then they decided to leave this community behind. And with it, this church in which you had faithfully raised them. And let's face it, shall we? I'm sure it's something that Josh anguishes about, something I anguish about, every faithful pastor anguishes about. Church attendance simply isn't what it used to be. Here at Augsburg, and in most churches as well. And that's because our world is changing as well. Now, as a man who had been called away from life in the big city, as you know so well, to serve God's children here in this little rural hamlet, I quickly learned that change tends to come slowly, more slowly here in this neck of the woods. I mean, look around you. This lovely view through these glass windows. I got to tell you, folks, these beat stained glass, they really do. And you look and what do you see? Here there is no urban development. Here there is no suburban sprawl. Here nothing keeps you from admiring the handiworks of God's lovely and vast creation. There exists no big city attractions. Or maybe more appropriately worded, distractions. To keep you from being here in worship on a Sunday morning. To receive God's refreshing gifts of forgiveness, life and salvation. But even in this little quaint farming community, where time so often seems to stand still, Change cannot be escaped. In fact, change bears down upon us, doesn't it? And most of the changes we experience in this life are not necessarily pleasant ones. You and I, we bear the brunt of change. We experience within us the aches and pain of our aging bodies. And we see it in a world around us that moves further and further away from the Creator of our bodies and the Redeemer of our eternal souls. My friends, we know it well. Out there is a world struck by spiritual blindness. Having closed its ears to the call of the gospel, the heart of this world around us grows increasingly hard. And we see that in its hostility toward the Word of God and toward those people who love and honor what God says and commands. I mean, let's be honest, shall we? Isn't that why we enjoyed David's presentation so much today? It takes us back to a simpler and seemingly more wholesome era. To a time when Christians were actually respected, even by those people who didn't necessarily share in our faith. So, how can we possibly say the church remains the same? Well, actually, we didn't say that. Jesus did. When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" The Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, was quick to speak up and declare, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." My friends, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, our Lord. And He is the same God for whom the prophet Malachi declared more than 2,400 years ago, "I, the Lord, do not change." He is the same God of whom the psalmist wrote, "He is the rock of our salvation." He was, He is, and shall forever be the rock upon which this church is built. And the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. I have to say it again. Jesus Christ is the rock. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the living and abiding Word of God. And unlike all the earthly lives that have come and gone before you here, only the word of the Lord endures forever. And my friends, this is the same good news that has been preached to you in this church building for 100 years. And what is that good news? Jesus. He is the Word made flesh. He is the incarnate Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity. He is true man, born of the Virgin Mary, who has redeemed you lost and condemned people, purchased and won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. And not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. For it pleased God the Father to send His Son Jesus into the world, so that whoever believes in Him may not perish, but have eternal life. So that today, with all those Augsburg saints who have walked these aisles and sat in these pews before you, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, you can declare, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, because of His victory over sin and death, you can be sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that, my friends, is what we celebrate today. We celebrate God's presence and eternal blessings in our Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate this holy house where for 100 years the unchanging love of God has been made known to His saints here in Augsburg. And to you, God has sent His called servants to preach His word and administer His sacraments. Pastors who have proclaimed the same message, as did St. Paul before them, delivering to you of first importance what they also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And just as Jesus appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then to more than 500 brothers, it is reported, then to James, then to all the apostles, then to Paul himself, he is present among you here today, right now. You and your ancestors stood before this altar to make confirmation of the faith by which you were baptized into Christ, to make confession and receive absolution, to hear the Word of God faithfully proclaimed, and to gather around this very altar to eat the Lord's body and to drink His blood. You are the blessed recipients of this apostolic tradition of the gospel, that is Jesus Christ crucified and Jesus Christ risen. And so, my friends, perhaps you now wonder, where will you and your children and your children's children, where will they be? Will they still be here in this building receiving God's gifts 10, 25, 50, or 100 years from now? I don't know. Only the Lord of the church knows the answer. But my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I know this, and so do you. Until that day when He calls you to your heavenly home, Jesus has promised to be with you, and He will take care of you. He will continue to feed you and make sure that you are filled with His means of grace, whether it be here or wherever you may be. And even as He has done in this beloved church for 100 years, may God continue to grant this to you, to us in Jesus' name and for His sake. Today, 100 years from now, and even forevermore. Go in His peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.